Watcher. It's Mike Wynn, and it's The Real Enjoyment of Jazz. I've got a bunch, well, a small bunch, four of them, bunch of new releases to share with you this week, starting with Corrie Weeds. Corrie Weeds in July 2016 with his own compo, How Do You Like Them Apples? It's actually Corrie on tenor, plus the Jeff Hamilton trio, which is Tamir Hendelman piano, Christoph Luthi bass and Jeff Hamilton drums. The album called Dreamsville is on Corrie's own label, Cell Alive. I've followed Corrie's career since I met him at the Jazz Record Centre in New York, and I'd say this is his best album to date. Next, a new Ahmad Jamal album. Thank you. And that was Ahmad Jamal's own arrangement of the traditional song Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child. But what an arrangement. Almost impossible to recognise the song. I shortened it a bit as the outro did go on and on. Again, it's from a July 2016 recording, this time on the Jazz Village label, and it's called Marseille. Marseille being a Jamal original, and there are three versions of it on this 8-song album. One, an instrumental, and two very different vocals. Wish I had the time to play all three for you. Jamal piano, James Kamak bass, Herlin Riley drums, and always present at Jamal gigs and recordings these days, Manolo Badrena percussion. Here's a very different version of our theme song, Milestones. Thank you. Yes, without doubt, Milestones, the Miles Davis compo, and it's from a newly released Alan Broadbent album, recorded 2016 at Abbey Road Studios in London. It's a piano-based drums lineup, plus the London Metropolitan Orchestra. Half of the album is a new suite by Broadbent called Developing Story, and the other half being a mix of his songs interspersed with those of Coltrane and Miles. Broadbent piano, Harvey S. bass and Peter Erskine drums and percussion. Broadbent was struggling when he came to arrange a new version of Milestones, and then this version came to him as he was driving north in New York State on a spring day and suddenly, quote, freeing itself from its roots, able to fan its wings and fly, unquote. Luckily, Alan's young son was bursting, so he had to stop the car for him to dash into the woods, allowing Alan the time to furiously scribble his thoughts down on paper. Yes, that's way more than you needed to know. Here's the last of these new releases, but this is a recording from 59. From a brilliant new Thelonious Monk double CD. It's music Monk wrote for the Roger Vadim Paris-based film Les Liaisons Dangereuses and played by his then regular quartet of July 59. Charlie Rouse tenor, Monk piano, Sam Jones bass and Art Taylor drums, plus a special guest in the shape of Barney Willen also on tenor. Much of this music is released here for the very first time, plus an amazing 60-page booklet of background and previously unreleased photos. This is a must for all Monk fans. We've just heard Light Blue, and at the end of the second CD is a long rehearsal, almost Monk composing as he goes along. So really, the making of Light Blue. Art Taylor has real trouble with that drum part, and Monk, never perhaps the best of communicators, makes helpful-ish suggestions, such as close your ears, Art. Here's a sample of it. This is for Monk nerds only.
Keep on doing that. Don't let me turn you, did it? Just keep in mind what you're doing.
All right.
like you stop, man. That's crazy. Shit. I mean, I'm trying to dig with it. I dig with it. I'm doing it. Because it was in time.
Huh?
You're damn if it wasn't.
In time to me, man.
God. Just keep on doing it. I'll come in. You just keep doing it. Keep on doing what you're doing.
Okay.
Forget what, you know, if it mixes you up. Just close your ears to what we're doing. You know what I mean. You don't close your ears in temple, but you close your ears to what we're doing. You can't hear what we playing and play that probably.
All right.
As I said, that's more for us nerds than human beings. This went on for nearly 15 minutes. That was Monk at work. He, Monk, knew exactly what he wanted. But even to the very experienced Art Taylor, it wasn't logical or even in time. Monk knew differently to everyone else. And don't forget, this is back in July 59. And I must add, Monk wore a conical Asian straw hat throughout the recording session. Contrast that with this.
If you ever plan to motor west and travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. I get your kicks on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to LA, more than 2,000 miles all the way. I get your kicks on Route 66. Now you go through St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, and Oklahoma City looks mighty pretty. You see Amarillo, Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona, don't forget Winona, Kingman, Boston, San Bernardino. Want you get hip to this tiny tip when you make that California trip. Get your kicks on Route 66.
Nat King Cole in Zurich, October 1950. It's volume 43 of the magnificent Swiss Radio Days jazz series. All of live gigs recorded by Swiss Radio. That, of course, was Route 66. And this is 2 years before Nat started a 10-year period of hits on Capitol Records. And those hits only really stopped because he had to give up due to ill health, and then he died in early 65 of lung cancer. On this occasion, 1950, he's still very much the piano player who occasionally sings. On guitar, Irving Ashby, Joe Comfort drums, and Jack Mr. Bongo Costanzo on bongos. It's billed as the Nat King Cole Trio, although there are four of them. It's my mistake. I fibbed. I apologise. There are 5 new albums this week. Miles Davis makes his 2nd appearance this week as a songwriter. So What? That's the name of the song. And it's on a new Montema CD called Music From Our Soul. The leader and the bassist, Charlotte Moffett. It's a changing cast of musos. On So What? It's only Moffett bass, Stanley Jordan guitar and Mike Clark drums. Stanley Jordan has a very different way of playing guitar. He simply taps the strings with the fingers of both hands. And in fact, he has played 2 separate guitars at the same time using this technique. Clever, certainly. But why, you ask? Good to hear Stanley Jordan again. He seemed to fade into the shadows after his initial impact in the early 80s. It's time for Ellington. Thank you. from Duke Ellington's New Orleans Suite, an Atlantic LP, recorded April 1970. I bought this LP new from Hemel Hempstead on the very day it was released. That was Portrait for Louis Armstrong, and it was during this LP's recording that the seemingly immortal Johnny Hodges died, and Ellington commented amongst many of the Duke's eloquent eulogies for his star soloist, "Our band will never be the same again." Next up, an impromptu guitar solo.
Well, I'm glad everything's going right with this guitar. This is the first time I've played this guitar in public. I've been practicing on it for like maybe 5 or 6 months. And this is the first time I've had enough nerve to bring it out and play it. It's got a high A string on it. It's fishing line. I got fishing line on top. It's like real skinny fishing line. Gives me a high A. The original LP, The Living Room Tapes, has been reissued as a double CD, inevitably The Complete Living Room Tapes. The two musos were Lenny Bro on guitar and the occasional vocal, and clarinetist Brad Terry, and it was all recorded in Brad's mother's living room, with a few chums added. I should really have chosen a track where they both played, but that was obviously Lenny on his own compo, The Claw, which Brad Terry's liner notes called outrageous. October 78 in Mrs. Terry's living room. Next up, an LP called The Jazz Brothers. The brothers are Chuck Mangione, trumpet, and Gap Mangione, piano. Gap is short for Gaspar, by the way. This Riverside LP, recorded August 1960, was their first recording as leaders. Chuck was 19, Gap 21, and it's a young band throughout. Larry Coombs, alto, 20, Sal Nistico, tenor, also 20, Bill Saunders on bass, mid-20s, as was drummer Roy McCurdy. The ensemble playing on this album is quite superb. Chuck plays an updo trumpet. It was a gift from Dizzy himself after Diz heard the teenager play. Updo being where the horn is bent. How bent? Bent upwards at about 45 degrees to the main part of the trumpet. If you remember the story, Dizzy claims to have stepped on his trumpet once and caused it to bend at that angle, and used his trumpets that way for the rest of his career, saying, "I could hear myself better." Unnecessary info yet again. That was Strutting with Sandra. I love this next song.
Thank you.
The Romberg Hammerstein classic, When I Grow Too Old to Dream, first published in 1934. Nat Cole recorded a great version of it, by the way. On this occasion, it's a solo piano piece by Roger Kellaway at the Vineyard Theatre, Jan 87, and giving it a stride makeover. Never heard the song played that way before. I must tell you about this next LP. I was really excited when I found it recently. It's called The Coolest Mikado, and on listening to it, my excitement grew. So, how often do we hear a jazz interpretation of Gilbert and Sullivan? And as I sit here pondering, none come to mind at this mo. So, full marks to this one-off group, the Gilbert and Sullivan Jazz Workshop, made up of Milt Bernhardt trombone, John Grass French horn, Red Mandel flute, Cappy Lewis trumpet, Frank Flynn vibes, Bobby Gibbons guitar, Morty Korb bass, Mel Lewis drums. Really hope you enjoyed that. That being Three Little Chicks. And in turn, they being Yum Yum, Peep Bo and Pity Sing, recorded LA 59. Next song is Hefner Just Walked In. Thank you. a rather crackly old VJ LP called Harold Harris at the Playboy Club. So obviously Hefner's first name is Hugh. That was Harold Harris on a rather tinny sounding Celeste with Lionel Glass bass, George Harps drums. Late 63 or early 64. Yes, it was recorded at the Playboy Club in Chicago, but an empty one, although a couple of bunnies strolled in for the front cover photo shoot. Harold Harris only made two albums as a leader, his style being somewhat similar to Errol Garner, with a dash of Red Garland. This next LP is called Groovy, but groovy with rather too many vowels. Thank you. Was called Skipping, and I think it did a couple of times, recorded in Stockholm, July 81, by a septet, where they all appear to be co-leaders. Phil Wilson, trombone, Rich Matteson, euphonium, don't get a chance to say that very often, euphonium, Jim Riggs, alto, Jack Peterson, guitar, Bent Hallberg, piano, Red Mitchell, bass, Eagle Johansson, drums. Groovy or what? And we're out of time already. Thanks for joining me, Mike Wynn, and I really hope you've had fun listening. I've certainly enjoyed playing the records for you, and I hope you'll be back next week for another The Real Enjoyment of Jazz. Until then, please take care. Be well.